Our Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, for every word of it, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Bob and Carol being here. We extend our prayers to them tonight, Lord. Pray that you would just touch them. Lord, I believe your word goes forth and it heals. We believe in your healing power, Lord. We believe that you can touch him even now, Lord, and remove anything that is causing illness, discomfort, or otherwise, Lord. We know, Father God, that your Holy Spirit has the power. We've been seeing Jesus do mighty miracles, and we know that you are not lack in those miracles today, Lord. So, God, we just lift them up before you and pray that you would just touch them and, Lord, that you would be with them, and we're just so grateful that they are here tonight, Lord. God, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in our midst. You've been so faithful, gentle, kind, merciful, and you are just. We pray, Father, for tonight's word, God, that you would go before me. Lord, that you would minister to our spirits, Lord. That you would do what only you can do. We're just so grateful, Lord God, that we can be part of your kingdom. We know that we're in your plan. And we know, Lord God, that your will is perfect, good, and acceptable. And so, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. That you would guide us, lead us. That you would just minister as only you can. Lord, we're just so grateful for who you are, what you've done, and what you continue to do. So we commit ourselves to you, and we commit our time, and we ask that you would do a mighty work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're in the Psalm 9. If you want to turn to the book of Psalms, number 9. Oh, you old people remember that. The young people are going, what's he talking about? You'll catch on. God is good, amen?
Amen.
God is good. God is good. This is a interesting psalm. I have decided we are going to Acts next Wednesday, or sooner or later. No? We are. We're going to jump off of the Psalms. I titled it, They Are But Men. And I get this from the last verse, verse 20. They are but men. It's a psalm of thanksgiving, the heading says, for God's justice. Last week, we looked at judging righteously and how the Lord is the judge. He decides. We can praise God for his judgment. I know that sounds kind of strange, but we can. We watch the clips. We liked Ossie Sproul. I don't agree 100% with him, but he was a great saint, man. And he went home to be with the Lord this year, well, last year. And he was in Bible college. He didn't get saved till college, but then he was in Bible college, and then he went to seminary, became a theologian, a doctorate. And the professor said something on the line of, if we understood God's justice, we could see people that we love, if they were in hell or being cast to hell, he almost said it like we would understand and accept it. And R.C. Sproul was young in his faith and in the ministry, and he was still in college, in Bible college, and he laughed because he's like, what a ridiculous thing to say. But the reality is, if we're in heaven, listen, we're going to see the white throne judgment. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in glory, and we're going to be sinless. We're going to see it through the justice of Almighty God. You get that? Through the justice of God. So we can't relate to it now. But we can accept God's justice in the world that we live in, or the long-suffering of God, because we see the injustices all the time, and we wonder, Lord, when are you going to bring your justice now? When is judgment coming? Listen, there's plenty of bad people that do bad things and continue to do them. You watch the news, and it's ludicrous, some of the stuff that they're doing and the murders that people are committing. And you wonder, it just seems so savage. You know, like there's no remorse. There's no consciousness. There's no compassion. It's like they're void of conscience. But the scriptures tell us in the latter days, they will be void of conscience. The people will do things that just seem so out of the realm of reality that we'll wonder why. And we're seeing that in the day we live in now, because I believe, and people have been saying this for 2,000 years, we're closer today than we were yesterday. And listen, someday it's going to happen. See, it didn't happen last week when everybody on the internet thought it was going to happen. There were people that believed that stuff, though, and that quit their jobs and were like, you know, it's just insane. I want to say this. Christianity of today, okay, Christianity. I don't say this because I'm the pastor, but I'm telling you, we're in a good place, because we're not trying to, you know, siphon the word of God and come up with new doctrines and force them upon you. We're simply preaching Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Ed Miller and Tom Wanthrop, who wrote Dear Christian, I remember when I first met Tom, 11 years ago. And I remember he said to me, it's all how you approach the Bible. And at the time, I was still pastoring in New Bedford. And so I thought, so it was earlier than that. So I thought that, okay, how do I approach the Bible? Well, I'm looking at the Bible. I want to learn the Bible. So I see the Bible historically, you know, grammatically. I see it scientifically. I see it all these ways. Historically, I see it these ways, this way. And that's where I was at. And he said, the Bible, the whole Bible, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Period. And when God opened my eyes, I say our eyes, because I have four now, but when God opened our, because we're one, because when God opened our eyes, it was so amazing. We saw Christ in Genesis. We seen him in Exodus. We seen him, it's easy to see him in Leviticus, but we seen him in Numbers. We seen him in Deuteronomy. We seen him in the Torah. We seen him in the historical books. We've seen them in the prophets, in the minor, in the major prophets. It just started blossoming. No. Yeah? I got it right? I'm not trying again, so I'm just going with the last one. You never know what comes out of this. I'm telling you. I don't know, so you'll never know. But we started seeing the Lord in ways that we never seen him. And if we can receive the word of God that way, rather than trying to exegete every word and looking at the Greek and looking at the tense and what was the mood and what did he really mean. I took Greek in Bible college. You don't want to do that. You don't want to. If you can avoid it all you can. But if we look at the scriptures and we see God's justice through the eyes of Jesus, how free is that? How free is that? We can praise him for his justice, for his judgment. Listen, when God's judgment is just, when is it? When is God's justice just? Yeah. But we don't decide when it is. So when we see the evils around us and we want to retaliate, you need to realize they're just men. They're just men. Or they could be women. Women can be pretty nasty too, you know, I'm just saying. But they're just men. And I think sometimes we give them, listen, you know the power that Satan has? He has a lot of power, Okay, Satan, we look at the book of Job, and Satan has power to take life. He has power to cause, you know, ailment in the body. He has power to, you know, annihilate the livestock and do all these things. He has power to do that. But the only power he has in our lives is the power we give him. So you know what I say? Don't give him any power. Keep our eyes focused on Christ and Christ alone and continue to see him and what he's doing and all that static and all those things that are happening outside of our circle doesn't matter. It doesn't have an effect on me. I pay attention. I told you I vote so I can complain. Because, hey, we all like to complain every now and then. And so I cast my vote. I voted. I can complain all day long now. But we look at the things that are happening in the world, and we have an opinion, and we almost want to, you know, I had people like, you know, when the crazy stuff comes, and what should we do? Should we do this? I say, hey, you should seek the Lord. You do whatever God tells you to do. I trust that you're born again. I trust that you know the Lord. I trust that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus Christ's Spirit lives in you. Ask God. It's that simple. Ask God. He'll show you. And if it means doing nothing, then do nothing. Just trust the Lord. You got to trust the Lord. David's praying this prayer. He's singing this psalm. He's writing this. And he's saying, listen, we didn't go through what David went through. But David went through a lot in his life. We've read about a lot of the stuff he went through, but it's far more than that. If you took snapshots of our lives, you know, during the 45 years that we've been alive, and you took snapshots of that, and you just took excerpts from it, or, you know, sound bites, I mean, that's all you would get. And that seems to be most of, you know, people in the scriptures. You didn't see what they did every day, every week, every month of every year. We don't know that. But we do know a lot what they did endure. And it was enough. It was enough. Listen, those who believe that God is greatly to be praised not only desire to praise him better themselves, but desire that others would praise him as well. There's nothing sweeter than hearing the church all sing. There's nothing sweeter than that. I'm going to love heaven. Because when I hear the myriads of angels and they hear my voice, they're going to all stop and go, what was that? No, just the opposite. I want to blend in so good, they're not even going to know I'm there. Then they'll be like, oh, that's what he should sound like when we can't hear him. Listen, all wickedness came originally from the wicked one, straight from the pit of hell. We know that. And those who continue to sin must go to that place of torment. And they will not be able to blame anyone but themselves. I shared this verse last week, and I like it, so I'm going to share it again. Isaiah 25:1. It says, O Lord, you are my rock. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. With perfect faithfulness. So that tells me that God had a plan, still has a plan, is bringing that plan to fruition even now, and we're part of that plan, but we don't have to be part of the judgment. That's not our job. Jesus said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I will repay. Somebody hurts you? Somebody wronged you? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. It's like hot coals on your head. I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes imprecatory prayers might be necessary, but I'm not at that place where I can pray them yet. I don't think I'm mature enough to do that. So let's look at, we're going to look at verses 11 to 20. I want to read 11 to 16. It says, sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Remember, again, it's a psalm of God's justice. Sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. That's good. Be gracious to me, or have mercy on me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. And I love this. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. In the margin, salvation means deliverance. Verse 15, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, in the net which they hid, their own foot has been caught. That's a beautiful thing. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared. David saw this far more than you and I will see it in our lives. David's seen how many times the enemy came against him and he didn't. Sometimes he retaliated, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he just trusted God to take care of the situation. Man, when Shimei was calling him out, you know, and yelling at him, and he was up on the mountain and he's following the troops, and they're like, you know, like, King David, well, we could take this guy out in a heartbeat. You know, let's take care. He was like, nope, leave him alone. Maybe God wants him to tell me these things. It just, again, the heart of David was so precious because he had the heart of God. He had the heart of Christ. Listen, being full of gratitude himself, David, who is the inspired author, is eager and excited to get others to praise the name of the Lord, to declare his deeds. But listen, you know what that is? That's our testimony. His deeds are all around us. But what about what he's done in your life? The deeds in your life, personally, the things that God has shown you, the doors that God has opened for you, the prayers that God has answered for you. That those are the deeds in our lives. Those are the things that God wants to relay to ours. Listen, that's our testimony. As believers, we all have a testimony. This was Paul's testimony. Paul was, I was a persecutor of the church. I was a Pharisee. I was going after all the Christians. One day I was on my way to Damascus. I had a letter to apprehend them, to throw them in jail. I seen a great light. I was never the same. I was never the same. Now, my testimony wasn't I was going to Damascus to kill anybody, thank God, because Damascus is too far from here. But I had nothing. But my testimony was my father died. And when he died, life stunk. And it was hard. And it was difficult. And it was hard to navigate in my heart and to foresee the future that I had. Wife, two kids. Listen, I love my wife. I love my kids. But it just did. There was something missing. And I realized it wasn't my earthly father. It was my heavenly father. Amen. And that was, then I seen that light. And that light was a revelation of Jesus Christ. When I said, Lord, if you're real, show me. And he showed me. And he kept showing up. Because God doesn't just show up one time and he's like, okay, we good now? All right, you're on your own. No, he shows up, he comes inside the house, he lives there, and he keeps it clean, and he takes care of it until you go home. Amen. God never leaves us alone. Amen. We think we bug him. Oh, I'm always, I'm praying the same prayer. I'm asking God for the, I'm asking. Good, keep asking. He never leaves us alone. I don't know, have you ever gone a whole day without being conscious of God? Without being convicted of sin? Without having some thought in your mind that you know God is there? I haven't. I haven't. I mean, if you pick up your Bible every day, it's impossible for that to happen. But I mean, if you forsake your Bible for some days, I guess it's possible. But I don't think God ever leaves us alone. Why would I want him to? I don't want him to. David calls upon the suffering remnant to sing praises to God because he is on our side and he fights our battles. Thank God for that. Israel's calling was to bear witness to the nations that Jehovah is the only true and living God. They failed. They failed because they got religious. I think of my aunt all the time. God bless her. She's 93. I take her out. She's got her rosary beads around her neck. She got a new one. They're big, too, man. These things are big. They're wooden. They're round. They're like, no, they're not that big. But she says her son's religious. She goes, oh, he's so religious. And I'm like, yeah, or I'm not. You know? She's like, you're the pastor. No, I'm not religious, man. I'm definitely not religious. Because Israel became religious when God wanted them to be spiritual. The world looks at Christianity as just another religion, and it's not. It's not. It's a relationship. It's not about religion. When we don't have holy days of obligation. Well, actually, we do. You know when your holy day of obligation is? Every day. It's every day. Every day is holy. And you're obligated to live it out because God's given it to us. It's a gift. It's an absolute gift. Verse 13 and 14, another way of saying be gracious to me is have mercy on me, O Lord. That's why mercy, again, nice song, very nice. Listen, what we need today is mercy. Mercy is expected to us in the person, extended to us in the person of Jesus Christ. David called on God to respond to his afflictions and give him reason to praise. Reason to praise. If you ever become dry in your worship, in your prayer, ask God for a reason and watch what he does. Watch what he does. Listen, we should always have prayer. It was good hearing Carol singing again. If the Lord doesn't do another thing, still I will sing. Singing praise isn't conditional. It's always. It's always. I love when David called God to rescue him from the gates of death. I don't know if that was an actual time where he was dying or he just felt like he was. But it's, Lord, take from me thy life for mine and this. God will do that. God will show you. He said, if you deliver me, Lord, I'll praise you even more. You lift me up from the gates of death. What a glorious lift. Listen, it's in sickness. It's in sin. It's in despair. It's in temptation. We've been brought very low, and the gloomy portals have seemed as if they would open to imprison us. But underneath us is his everlasting arms. We can't fall any further than that, no matter how hard. We can't. You know, righteous man falls seven times a day, he gets back up. How do you think he gets back up? Because his everlasting arms are right there, Jeremiah. He picks us up. I love Psalm 3, verse 3. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. David understood the triumph of God to be so complete that his enemies were ensnared in the same trap they set for others. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. God meant for good. But when God is the avenger, he has all the evidence he needs to find and punish the rebellious sinner. They also ask God to catch their enemies in their own traps. Listen, his plan's perfect. Listen to this. Or in Isaac, they plotted against the purpose of God and ended up serving it. Joseph's brothers fight against the plan of God only to further it. Haman, another great example, he built a gallows for Mordecai, the Jew, only to be executed upon it himself. Judas betrayed Jesus and became himself a fulfillment of prophecy. There's nothing that a wicked man does that is not against his own interest. He is continually doing himself harm. If you have that mindset, let him be. Let him be. Regardless of who it is, you're going to see evil. You're going to see more evil. I think that poor girl, the Ukrainian there on the train, you know, and the guy jumps behind her. She saw none of it coming. My first reaction was anger. It makes me mad. And then there's two dudes that are sitting right there, and neither of them get up and do anything. Because there's no men anymore. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I will repay. We don't get away with anything. The greatness of God is demonstrated by the way he can use the plans and efforts of the ungodly with also bringing righteous judgment upon them. David's prayer was supported by his confident trust in the Lord. The Lord's justice is well known. It's well known. So long as God is God, he will not and he cannot spare the guilty, except through one glorious way in which he is just and justifier of him who believes. Recognition of the Lord and trusting him in what he's done. Listen, I pray salvation for the church, you know, that God would, that salvation would visit the church on Sunday morning. I don't know who's saved, who's not. I can tell you, in the days we live in, I would want to be sure. I would want to be sure. I don't want to be 95% sure. I don't want to be 98% sure. I want to be 100% sure. And if I'm not 100% sure, I'm getting down on my knees, and I'm not getting up until I'm 100% sure. And God will show you. God will reveal that to you. Again, it's revelation. We looked at it 2 weeks ago and how the Lord can do that. But again, I think we look around and we put a stock in the evil, and it is evil. They're just men. At the end of the day, they are but men. They are but men. Look at verse 17. It says, the wicked will return to Sheol. Even all the nations who forget God. For the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. That's all they are. They are but men. Who should fear what man can do to them? We don't fear what man. Listen, man can just hurt the body. Fear the one who can destroy the soul and the body. And that's God Almighty. And as long as our fear is in Almighty God, and I don't mean fear to be afraid, I mean fear to have reverence for him, and we worship him and we praise him, we don't have to worry about what man's going to do. They're going to do things. They're going to hurt us. They're going to say things about you. You know, so what? So what? If your life is no longer your own, and your life has been hid with Christ in God, then who are they really attacking? Who are they coming after? What are they saying negative things about? Not you. Not you. We personalize it because we think it's about us, and it's not. Again, we're learning Christ. We're looking at Jesus. He is our life. And as long as he's our life, then what do we have to fear? Nothing. If we were martyred, do we have to fear? We still don't have to fear. If persecution comes to America, I mean, are we going to fear the digital ID? Is that the mark of the beast? Oh, I don't know. Is it the mark of the beast? You know, is it going to be a computer chip? Is it going to be a tattoo? They're going to stick around on your forehead. Like, I mean, who? Listen, if you're his, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Okay? If you're truly his, you won't get it. Is the Antichrist alive? I don't know. I think he is, but that's my opinion. But I don't know. Who? I don't care. I'm not going to know him. I'm going to be gone before that. I'll be raptured. I'll be in heaven. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. No, it doesn't. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We get caught up in all those things, and all it does is take our time and our attention and our mind a lot of times. Listen, the career of the wicked in this world will be cut short by the judgment of God. The implication here is that even heathen should know through nature the God of creation, even though they may not know him through revelation. There is a God. Only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's Bible. Only a fool says there is no God. So next time somebody goes, oh, there's no such thing as God, you go, you fool. It's okay. It's Bible. You can say that. My pastor said I could say it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. He's over there at Word of Life Church, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I have bodyguards. They're angels. Watch out for my angels. Listen, the wicked try to forget God. They try. They want to forget God. Because let me tell you, when judgment comes, it won't be pretty. It won't be pretty. Forgetfulness seems a small sin, but it brings eternal wrath upon the man who lives and dies in it. Those who reject and ignore the Lord, listen, they have no hope. I feel for them. It should bother us. Listen, you shall not be forgotten at the mercy seat, so keep praying. You shall not be forgotten in the word, so keep reading. You shall not be forgotten from the pulpit, so keep hearing. You shall not be forgotten at the Lord's table, so keep receiving. You shall not be forgotten in your service, so keep serving. Man forgets God, but God doesn't forget man. Not knowing what lies ahead or the days that we live in today. There were plenty of times for them in the days of old where they had no idea. You know, we're going to go on a trip. Okay, well, check the map, check the weather. You can check your weather on your weather app. You can check the traffic, you know, in GPS, make sure you get there. Listen, they jumped on their donkeys or their camp. They didn't know what was around the corner. They had no idea what to expect. Noah, build a boat. It's going to rain. God, what's rain? What's rain? It never rained. How would he know what rain is? Build an ark. Didn't build a little boat. He could have. There were only 8 of them. But no, he built a massive boat. Numbers 10:35 says this. Then it came about when the ark, not that ark, Noah's ark, but the ark of the covenant, set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. They gathered up that tent in the wilderness, and they gathered up all the people, and the Levites put everything together, and as they had it together, they went on a march. And as they marched out, they didn't know how many enemies were out there. They didn't know which enemy was out there. They didn't know how big the armies were, and they didn't know where they were going. And yet they went out. How much trust for God do you think they needed? All of it. They had no idea. That's why when they got to another place and they had no water, right away they're like, all right, we're going to die. Water, water. And they're looking for water. God says, you want water? I'll open a rock. I'll open a rock. Now, I would have been happy with rain. But no, he opened the rock. Because the rock is Christ. And he's our provision. God is so awesome. How many times did David go out to another army? How many times out there? I think for Noah, I mean, how much faith did he have? And preaching judgment's coming. And then everyone he knew died. Everyone. But his three sons and their wives and his wife. Everyone. Can you imagine? I can't. And what's the first thing he does when he gets off the boat? He worships. That's faith. And as he watched them all perish, I wonder if he thought to himself, they are but men. They are but men. Verse 19, let the nations be judged. The nations are yet to be judged according to our Lord. Matthew 25:32, he shall separate them from one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Listen, prayer is the believer's weapon of war. Prayer. Is prayer going to change God's mind? No. Is it going to change the situation? No. It's going to change you in the situation. Prayer is fellowship with Almighty God. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer isn't just you requesting things. Prayer is sitting still before Almighty God and letting Him minister to you. Best messages I ever preached is when I never opened up my mouth and I was just sitting before the Lord and God preached to me. If God has given you a burden, prayer is the release of that burden. In the very sight of God, the wicked will be punished. Since they had no tears of repentance, and their day of grace will end. Let me close with this. Remember that the psalm, the inscription of this psalm, was Muth Laben, meaning death for the son. The only thing that changes anything is faith in Jesus Christ, is looking to the Lord Jesus. When I compare Jesus to man, there's no comparison. David compared Goliath at 9'6" tall to God. He looked at Goliath, he looked to the Lord. He looked at Goliath, he looked to the Lord, and he was like, no competition. No competition. He looked at Goliath and he said, he's just a man. He's just a man. The only power he can have over me is the power I give him in my mind. And don't give it to him. Know that the Lord has got us. He's in control. He fights our battles. And he loves us so much. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you for the precious Psalms, Lord, that we have looked at. So awesome, Lord, to just see your heart, David's heart, or the writer's heart. And Lord, we can look at our own and see where we are, Lord. God, who is man? Who is man? I like in your word, Lord, it says, what is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with the glory and majesty, and you make him to rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. That's what you've done, Lord. God, we thank you that you care for us the way you do. We do pray for Bob, and Lord, that you would just touch him and just go with him and just continue to give him your strength. We just thank you, Lord, for this night. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.